Together. We're going to talk with four Wisconsin chefs this hour of the morning show on what they like to cook during the winter months. But before we do, let's whip up a little magic on this first day of our winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Mike Arnold. Listeners, that is you, provide the single largest source of funding here at WPR. And this membership drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 7 pledges this hour. We'll meet this goal one pledge at a time, starting with yours. You can be the first person to pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This goal is important. It's sets to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs that you rely on every day, especially here on the Ideas Network. As an added incentive, your pledge of any amount gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have 5 chances to win. What a practical drawing. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, public radio has a unique funding model. It's a two-way street that creates a higher quality product than you'll find anywhere else. And this is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It is truly an amazing system, and you get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. Make your contribution for independent news, information, and the music you love right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio for a while and you'd like something to show that you're a listener. Well, let the world know you're a WPR fan when you wear a cool new WPR t-shirt. You can ask for yours when you give $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120. Your gift supports the programs you care about, and you get a limited edition t-shirt. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself cruising down the aisles of your favorite grocery store with $500 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have 5 chances to win a gift card to a grocery store near you. What would you buy with an extra $500?
Wine, chocolate, and then like a whole caseload of my favorite maple yogurt.
I would buy the most expensive Wisconsin cheese I could find.
I'd probably buy like maybe 5 cases of those Milano cookies.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Yes, get in on that drawing. Who doesn't want a $500 gift card to roam the aisles of the supermarket? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here on the morning show with Mike Arnold, bright and early. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on every day. That's why your support during this winter membership drive is so important. So maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You're always right. At this time of the morning, it's nice to do something where you're right no
yes.
matter what.
Yes.
You know? We know the value of your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes only a few minutes. You can tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how much you'd like to pay.
It's quick, it's easy, and your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Are you the first person who gets up in the morning? Are you the first person who starts driving when the light goes green? Well, we need you right now because we have 7 pledges to go, 7 minutes to get them. You can be the first pledger in this drive by making your pledge right now. And that you start the momentum by doing that. So if you want to be a catalyst, now's the time to do it. Make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your pledge of any amount gets you entered into this drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. In fact, you'll have 5 chances to win. So pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552. And hey, all you sustainers out there, you're covered. You're automatically entered
for that $500 grocery card gift card. Now, one thing you can't get in the grocery store, but you can get right now, is the WPR t-shirt. You can support the programs you value and get this new WPR t-shirt. It's a limited edition. You've never seen it before. Now's the time to do it. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And by the way, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you're supporting a lot of future conversations that are coming up. It's an election year, 2018, lots of big elections coming up. We'll be talking about that. All sorts of things being discussed here on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your support, because listener support is the single largest source of funding here at WPR. So make a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks, Mike. Well, it might be dreary outside, but the dishes we prepare in the winter sure don't have to be. This hour, we'll be getting winter cooking tips from four, count them, four Wisconsin chefs who are nominated for this year's James Beard Award for the Best Chef Midwest category. Johnny Hunter is the culinary director and founder of the Madison-based Underground Food Collective, which oversees Four Quarter Underground Butcher and Underground Meats. That's in Madison. This is his fourth nomination for the James Beard Award in this Best Chef Midwest category. Johnny, welcome to the morning show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So what kickstarted your passion for food and for cooking?
You know, originally it was this job in college where I was working in a kitchen, and I think that that kind of brought me to a place where I started cooking at home, and from there, you know, just kept on a career both in the kitchen and trying to be a good home cook.
So here we are in the depths of winter, a storm's out brewing out there. What are your go-to ingredients for freshening up meals?
Yeah, so for me, it's really, you know, we're in root vegetable season. So luckily, a lot of the farms and kind of grocery stores are stocking really delicious root vegetables right now. So you have your carrots, you got your celeriac, you got your parsnips. And instead of, you know, cooking those into a roasted dish or braising them, you know, my main thing is just to shave them with a vegetable peeler.
So you shave them, and then what happens? How are you cooking them?
So I don't cook them. Mostly I'm, you know, just tossing them with some fresh greens and a vinaigrette. You know, I'll use like lemon and olive oil, salt, some honey.
And what cooking techniques do you like to use, especially during the winter?
Yeah, so, you know, at my home, I think one of the things that warms up us up the most is chicken broth and chicken soup. So I think one tool that has been kind of becoming more popular in kitchens now and at home is pressure cookers. And you can get a stovetop one, but now they have these new electronic ones made famous by the Instapot. And I use those all the time. And you can make a chicken stock in about an hour. Mm. Versus something that could take, you know, 6 to 7 hours on the stove.
So you're able to really expedite the things you want to do with that chicken, that stock, by using the pressure cooker.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, it's rare that a tool comes around that kind of transforms the way you cook. But I can honestly say that, you know, having a warm chicken soup, you know, especially since it's cold season, everyone's getting sick. And, you know, there are some, you know, some studies that say that chicken soup is actually good for those things.
It's chicken soup good for the soul. Right. So what are some of the herbs, some of the flavors you put in your chicken soup? Because not everyone does it the same way.
Yeah. So, I mean, almost any chicken soup, I think, is really built around the broth that you make. And so I put in onions, garlic, carrots, some celeriac or celery, and then I really like lemon in there, and then a little bit of thyme and bay leaf.
And some people put cream in their chicken soup. Is that, do you like to thicken it up at all?
I like the clear broth, so, you know, I'm trying to keep it light and, you know, really warm instead of heavy.
You're kind of a food purist, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us about your work as culinary director for the Underground Food Collective. What does that entail?
Yeah, so, you know, we're three businesses here in Madison, and so I oversee the kitchen at Four Quarter, which is a small neighborhood restaurant, and, you know, we're trying to bridge the gap between something where you can get a nice meal and also being just, you know, simple restaurant. But, you know, I think in the Beard Awards have noticed that we're trying really hard, which is awesome and a testament to the kitchen there. But so, and then, you know, we have the Underground Butcher, which is, you know, it's a butcher shop, but also a retail store, and we make sandwiches, stuff like that. So I'm working with the staff, coming up with recipes, trying to think about how we can utilize ingredients from Wisconsin.
What have been your aha recipes that have really brought in the flavors of Wisconsin, the ingredients, local ingredients made here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a couple dishes at Four Quarter, but one of them, I think, is our, you know, our vegetable dumplings, where we make a broth out of the mushroom stems, and then we make a ricotta dumpling and put some whatever kind of seasonal vegetables available. That's really, I love that dish a lot, and I think it shows kind of what we have here in kind of the upper Midwest as far as culinary ingredients. The second thing is we have a fried mushroom with black garlic dish, and, you know, it's a little bit unique, but it's got, you know, black garlic's kind of a fun ingredient, and we make a bunch of it ourselves.
Okay, so walk us through black garlic. What does that, how do you go about creating black garlic?
So basically, it's garlic that's been cooked for a really long time at a low temperature. And what happens is it gets rid of kind of the harsher allium flavors, the, you know, sulfur and such that kind of is that. And then it converts the starches to sugar, and you get a really very sweet, funky, tasting ingredient, and it's delicious and really interesting.
Oh, is that kind of like caramelizing onions in a way?
It's like caramelizing onions for like 2 days.
Nice, nice. So what are some other ways that we can break out of our habits, our, you know, I mean, we always reach for perhaps the higher caloric foods in the winter. I know we always have a lot of mac and cheese around our house. And I'm just wondering, what can we do to lighten things up and not get so heavy in the winter?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really important to, you know, not just go all carbs all the time. And that's why I think it's, you know, about trying to have like really delicious things that are really high flavor, but not hugely, you know, not heavy. So that's why, you know, we make salamis, and I think that's a really good substitute for a heavy meal, and it's super flavorful. You can add it into an ingredient. You know, and I think then the other thing too is just like the roasted vegetables and steamed vegetables, you know, just continually getting those ingredients and utilizing them in your cooking.
When you're roasting vegetables, walk us through some of the best way to roast vegetables and maybe perhaps some of the shortcuts that you have.
Yeah, so I'll talk about broccoli because I think that's kind of a favorite in my household. So we cut it, we cut the florets in, we cut it in half, and then I take it, and I think one thing that's important to do is toss it in a bowl and then salt it and oil it in the bowl rather than trying to do it on the pan because you use a lot less oil that way. And then roast it at a higher temperature, like 375, 400 degrees, and roast it so that the side that you cut is down on the pan, so it's facing down, and you'll get like a much more crispy, flavorsome.
And do you line your cooking sheet with anything?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of parchment for roasted vegetables. You'll notice that you get more even browning, it won't burn, you'll have like higher yields of just in general flavorness.
And finally, as we start to wrap up here, do you have one, besides the pressure cooker, one tool in your kitchen that is really your go-to tool?
Yeah, I love my vegetable peelers. I use them to shave vegetables all the time. I use a Y peeler, which is kind of the ones that have the, it looks like a Y rather than the oblong one. And it's a lot easier to use and just a lot sharper and faster.
Well, Johnny, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Johnny Hunter is the culinary director and founder of the Underground Food Collective in Madison. He was nominated for a 2018 James Beard Award for the Best Chef Midwest category. It's his fourth nomination. What do you do to liven your winter cooking? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. And when we come back, we'll go to Sheboygan to talk with another semifinalist. That's right here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and we are getting cooking tips from four Wisconsin chefs this hour who have been nominated for a James Beard Award in the Best Chef Midwest category. And at the same time, we're cooking on the first day of WPR's Winter Membership Drive. I'm here with my colleague Mike Arnold. Good morning to you.
Morning.
And as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in, whether it's cooking or politics. And that's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the single largest share of the budget. And when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
You are investing in future conversations on the Ideas Network. We're looking for just five more pledges in the next, 40 minutes or so. We know we can do it, but we need you to make your pledge. Thanks if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you enjoy. And as an added bonus, you'll automatically be entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have five chances to win.
And when you listen to talk shows on the Ideas Network, you participate in a statewide conversation. You hear from the experts, but you also learn from the interesting and diverse experiences of people across the state.
You go out into the world as a more well-rounded person every day, full of things to think about and talk about. Because you value being well-informed, support the conversations that you hear right here on the Ideas Network, by the way, that keep you connected. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888- 202-2552.
And if you've never contributed before, we're talking to you, because reaching new donors is an important part of these pledge drives. It's the way that we can reach you. We know that you're there. We know you're listening. And every member makes a difference, because listener support makes up the single largest part of our budget. So your donation makes WPR programs possible.
And whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, you are a regular listener because you value WPR. And if you've never given before, start off with a pledge of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we think you're going to love being a WPR member.
The 2018 WPR t-shirt is a two-tone orange design on a dark gray background. It shows how Wisconsin is at the center of everything we do here at WPR. Imagine yourself wearing the new t-shirt. How do you feel?
A sense of belonging. There's kind of a tribe thing going on.
I always get a small thrill when I see people out in the Wisconsin community wearing WPR stuff.
I feel proud knowing that people know I support WPR.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt right now. Find out how great it feels to show off your WPR pride. Pledge $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Mike Arnold. We are asking for your support during this winter membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount that you set it at, that is the right amount.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. A dollar a day, I mean, it's really not that much when you think about it. It's a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or soda or a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to $30 or $31 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. Make your pledge now in the amount that's right for you. That's the bottom line at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you make your pledge right now, we'll get a fifth of the way to our goal. We just have five more pledges to go in this hour of the morning show. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really is an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
Mike Arnold doing some fractions this morning, some morning edition.
That's pretty funny. It's actually division.
Division.
Yeah,
but,
morning,
you know,
division. That sounds horrible.
It doesn't work. All right. Well, make your pledge right now, regardless of how you divide it up, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Let's continue our celebration of winter cooking by getting tips from some of Wisconsin's 2018 James Beard Award nominees. How do you spice up or freshen up your winter cooking, especially when a lot of produce is in a lull? Let us know. 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Stefano Villietti is the chef and owner of four restaurants, including Trattoria Stefano in Sheboygan. He's also a semifinalist for the James Beard Award for the Best Chef Midwest category. It's his first nomination. Stefano, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kate. Great to be here.
Well, when did you find your passion for food, your passion for cooking? How did it get started?
Oh, boy. Probably pretty young. I used to get the hall pass in middle and high school, go to the payphone, which we had at that time, dating myself a little bit, and there were no cell phones, and I would call Mom and ask what was for dinner. If I didn't like the answer, I started to lobby. And I would start to kind of, you know, could we maybe have tater tot casserole instead, or could we maybe do this, or, you know, because dinner was a big deal for me, and I just really loved looking forward to that part of the day, and I would actually start to sort of try to control it.
Did you cook with your mom?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that was, you know, meals were very important in our household. We didn't have a lot growing up, but it was still every single day. Might have been a casserole, might have been gravy bread on a Monday after a roast on a Sunday. And then as we got, and my father traveled quite a bit with business over the years, so she began doing Italian food and risottos and things as we sort of got a little more worldly as our family evolved. But yeah, it was just, you know, she had a big, beautiful garden. That was one of the things I remember. She fed us from the garden all summer long.
Mm.
And so meals were always there. You know, we were always at the table together, and it was always just I always describe it when I do sort of cooking demonstrations and things like that as a hug that you can smell when you come into a house that is, you know, got something cooking. It's a great, great thing to walk into.
What are your favorite dishes to prepare during the winter months, and perhaps the dishes that remind you of your mom and your youth?
I love soups. And I have to say, my mother was a great soup maker. She loved making different types of soups, whether it was pea soups or chicken noodle soups or beef and barley soups and things like that. So I love broth and I love soups. So I think that if anything in particular, if I had to name one thing, would probably be just the enjoyment of a beautiful bowl of soup. I also love braising, things like that. You know, where now we're doing venison ossobuco at the restaurant, and we do wonderful, you know, you might do a beautiful stew of wild boar. We have wild boar on the menu right now with a fresh made pappardelle. So it's things that are kind of longer, slower, a little more patient cooking, I guess you might say, in the wintertime. It's sort of everything kind of slows down a little bit. And I think that's kind of part of the enjoyment. There are a little fewer customers. There's a little, you know, everything just kind of sort of downshifts. And I think it's actually kind of a wonderful time.
You also, I understand, make pho. Is that right?
I do. I am obsessed with broth. So in my basement, my wife is a little concerned because I've got one entire chest freezer, which is completely full of pho broth. And then I've crept into our other freezer with my ramen broth a little bit. So I've slowly taken over the basement. But yes, I do. I go into sort of a nesting mode in late fall every year, and I make, all the chefs at the restaurant kind of laugh at me because I make enormous quantities of everything I make usually. So they kick me out and I come home and I make enormous amounts of broth and I freeze it. And then I take all of my meats, my oxtails, and my briskets and all that stuff, which has helped to make the broth. I then freeze that in little bags. I make my own Asian meatballs, and I put away about 50 or 60 orders of pho that is ready to go at a moment's notice. So I can have a bowl of beautiful steaming pho in about 10 minutes.
And pho...
all winter long.
All winter long. Now, Reem, help us understand what pho is. It is spelled P-H-O, and explain
right.
the origins and what you put in it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful Vietnamese soup. Oddly enough, they often eat it in the mornings, which I found a little strange, and I have not been to Vietnam. I'm more of a Western European traveler guy, and my food history comes more from that realm. But over time, you get curious, and you start wanting to make these things. So it's a beautiful broth with charred ginger and charred onions, and you kind of blast them over a fire and really burn them a little bit. You get beef shin bones and knuckle bones, and then you choose, you know, you might want chuck in there, you might want brisket, you might want oxtails as your actual meat. Those meats cook a little bit. They come out. They get put into water and cooled and sliced and pulled, and then you continue this broth. There's a wonderful sort of a little sachet of spices that go in. There's star anise, and there's cinnamon, and there's bay leaf, and there's fennel seed. So there's all these beautiful aromatics that go in as well. A little sugar, a little fish sauce. So it's a very unique kind of a broth. And then the meats are a little, I mean, there are different versions. I do sort of a more traditional one where I'll have that oxtail, I'll have some brisket, I'll have some raw. I like to use raw Wisconsin bison in mine as well. So we'll call North Star bison. And we have beautiful, in our retail area, we have some of their meats. And I'll take maybe a gorgeous sirloin and I'll slice the raw meat from that and then put away these little bags, make my Asian meatballs, do the whole thing. And then I garnish with a little onion, and there's cilantro, and there's Thai basil, and so there's all these beautiful vegetables on top. And sometimes I'll tweak it. Since I don't know what real, authentic Vietnamese pho tastes like, they can't yell at me for making it my own way. So I'll take some gai lan, I'll take some Asian broccolis, and I'll steam them, and I'll chop those up and sort of fortify the vegetables. But I just love it.
What cooking techniques do you like to use, especially during the winter?
Well, I think the biggest one is probably, you know, you definitely go into braising more, you know, whether it's lamb shanks or veal shanks. We do a lot of, we've had veal shanks on our menu, Wisconsin veal, Strauss veal for 24 years. It just kind of is one of those things where you can still certainly grill a steak. We always have fresh fish. We're always doing things like that. We were serving white fish this week from Lake Michigan. We've got a lot of local great products there. But we also, I would have to say that braising is probably the biggest thing. Stews and braises and that kind of thing, which is just a real, I don't know, maybe it's just a natural reaction. You know, you wouldn't want to eat this sort of four-hour braised venison shank with a six-herb risotto in the middle of summer, you know. So it's one of those things that really sort of makes you know that it's wintertime when you're eating something like that. It's just, and you have the time. It's one of those things that, you know, yes, it's a restaurant, but if it were home, you know, when you're holed up on a day and it's snowing out or raining out, and what have you got to do? Well, you say, well, here's what I've got to do. I've got 6 to 8 hours I can make this. And I love nothing more than taking a Sunday, starting early in the morning and just taking the whole day and making it this long, beautiful project of slow cooking and preparing. And it just is, I don't know, it's just a, to me, there's no better way to sort of embrace the winter and, you know, put in your turnips, put in your parsnips, get your veal shanks, get your venison shanks, and just kind of, you know, you have to, I think it forces a level of creativity and patience that maybe doesn't exist in places where you've just got the same kind of, that's not the same, but you've got, you know, in California, you can have growing seasons all year.
Sure.
So it's a little different. But right now, we're still getting our storage crops from Peter Seeley at Springdale Farm, who I think is one of the most brilliant farmers in the entire state, if not the Midwest. And we buy enormous amounts of things from him, but he's a great, great supplier. We're still getting onions and red onions and some squashes and things. He grows our wheatgrass in his little greenhouses, so he's still producing. We have local aquaponics producers, so we can kind of cheat the winter a little bit with some local hydroponic people. But in the end, you just get down to, you know, let's enjoy our root vegetables, you know, lots of celeriac slaw and sunchokes and things like that. But it does sort of make you live in the seasons. You know, we're not going to be serving asparagus and farmed salmon right now and asparagus from Chile. You know, that's just not something that inspires us or makes, we just won't do it. It's not meant to be.
Stefano Villietti is with us, chef and owner of four restaurants, including Trattoria Stefano in Sheboygan. He's been nominated for this year's James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest. Talking to him about winter cooking and the approaches he takes, you can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can also send it by email to ideas@wpr.org. Stefano, walk us through how you go about braising things, because some people take different approaches to braising.
Well, nowadays, you know, you got the sous vide people out there who want to put a short rib in a bag and put it in water and cook it for 4 hours, and that's okay. You know, that's modern day braising, and that's fine. In fact, I just bought a sous vide machine out in New York a few weeks back at J.B. Prince, so I'm guilty. But we use it for different things too. We use it for like forced marinating and things like that. But it's just, you know, for me, braising is a searing of a meat product first, or some item you first sear. Usually aromatics of some sort, some carrots, some celery, some onion, maybe a sachet of herbs, maybe some rosemary and thyme. I'll walk you through my venison shank just as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So we took these beautiful, big, thick venison shanks. You marinate them overnight with juniper and red wine and garlic and rosemary. You save that marinade. You drain the shanks the next day. I bring it up to a simmer. I skim off any impurities. I take that wine, which has all that beautiful flavor of just the venison and the herbs and things. You then sear the meat. You brown some vegetables, you add a little product of maybe a little tomato paste, a tiny bit of tomato, and then the red wine from the marinade that the venison sat in, a little sachet of spices and herbs, and you put it in the oven for, you know, 3 to 4 hours at a low temperature, and then we'll sometimes strain away the sauce to make it that little bit more elegant if we want to take out the bits of vegetables and things that are in it. But it's just a long, slow process of slowly breaking down a cut of meat that's, you know, that's meant to be braised. It's something that's a very developed muscle on the animal. So it might be, you know, a shank or a hind leg or some part of the animal that has worked out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus something like you wouldn't braise a filet, you wouldn't braise a tenderloin, you know, or a sirloin. Those are cuts you sear and eat. So you're braising the cuts that are the quote unquote lesser, whether it's oxtail, love oxtails and things like that. So it's cuts that need a little more time and patience. So they're perfect for the winter because that's the only way you can really cook them.
Well, you get that mouth-watering effect, too, of, you know, you can smell it cooking, and then you get that taste when you take that first bite.
Yeah, the flavor development's incredible. And you can also do stovetop braising. We'll do several. There's sometimes we'll do, for example, we do a rabbit dish that I was shown in southern Italy in the region of Basilicata years ago. And it's rabbit, and we have a beautiful, beautiful person that grows us local rabbits. We buy every rabbit that she raises for us. They're completely organic. They're hand-fed off the ground. I mean, it's ridiculous how incredible they are. And you cook them down a little bit. You add some red wine. You cook it till it kind of evaporates. You add some more red wine. You cook it till it evaporates. So it's a way of really developing layers and layers and layers of flavor. And then that item that's cooking, whether it's a veal shank or a venison shank or something, ends up just giving you so much. So if you're just searing a piece of meat and eating it, that's wonderful. But if you're letting sort of the bone marrow and all of that connective tissue and all those beautiful things that this animal, this strong, healthy animal, has built, then you want to really let it all kind of come out. I mean, you can coax a lot out of, you'd be amazed, even a little piece of onion and carrot, if you saute it correctly, treat it correctly, let it have its full, you know, evolution of flavor. Pardon me, same thing with the braising. It's just really about letting those things develop slowly, and then I will never, ever serve a braise on the day it's made.
Well, Stefano,
it
has been so much fun to talk with you. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
Stefano Viglietti is chef and owner of 4 restaurants, including Trattoria Stefano in Sheboygan. He's been nominated for a 2018 James Beard Award for the Best Chef Midwest category. And we're talking winter dishes this hour. What are your ideas? 800-642-1234. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with my colleague here, Mike Arnold. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, in-depth discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this going strong.
Listener support is the single largest piece of our budget. That sounds wild, but it's true. And that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've just been hearing this engaging conversation conversation about food. So much fun to hear Wisconsin chefs around the state, how they approach their recipes during the winter. If this hour is inspiring you, make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You can make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your pledge.
We're looking for, I think, like two more pledges in the next 15 minutes or so. We can do that. Your gift right now is really important because it helps us stay on track for this pledge drive. When you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll automatically be entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have five chances to win.
And you connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, great conversations, and entertainment. 9XM leadership gifts of $100 or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
So keep our connection strong to you and all WPR listeners with a leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives, because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it. I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Mike Arnold. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. And whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And you've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. You've turned it into a habit. Every morning you tune in, hear what people are talking about. Well, now's the time to make a decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio financially. Listener support's the single largest source of funding here at WPR. We're able to do the things that you enjoy hearing on this station thanks to support from listeners like you who contribute to the station. It's as simple as that. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're making good strides this hour. Let's keep up the momentum. Do you have some numbers for me, Mark Arnold?
Actually, we're one over. So,
awesome.
Yeah, so we're starting off on a good foot, as James Brown would have said. Yeah.
You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Continuing our conversation about winter cooking, now here we have Dan Jacobs and Dan Van Wright. They're co-owners, head chefs of Dan Dan and Esther Ev in Milwaukee. They, too, have been nominated for a 2018 James Beard Award for the Best Chef Midwest category. Dan Van Wright has been nominated three times before. Dan Van Wright, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And Dan Jacobs, this is his first nomination. Dan Jacobs, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, Dan Jacobs, let's start with you. Tell us what led you to discover your passion for cooking.
I think all these things happen by accident. I think it was more out of necessity. I was living in Door County, Wisconsin, and one of the only jobs you could do was work in a restaurant. And I realized that after a couple weeks of doing it that I really, really, like, I loved it. I thought it was the coolest thing. I was a prep cook at the Inn at Cedar Crossing in Sturgeon Bay, and the line cooks were so cool. I mean, I was like 18, so these guys were like in their 20s. These guys were definitely cooler than I was. It started as something that simple, and then, you know, it became something I loved.
So, Dan Van Wright, how did it come about for you? How did you find your passion for cooking?
Mine came from dropping out of architecture school, 23 credits short of a degree, and because I didn't know if I wanted to do that anymore. And I got into cooking, and then that just kind of led me to culinary school and to what I've been doing now.
So, Dan Jacobs, when cooking in the winter, what go-to ingredients do you enjoy using?
Winter is tough, especially being in Wisconsin. And we like to, you know, we try to use as much as we can from the farmers that we use all summer. I think one of the big things that we do is, you know, potatoes. It sounds simple, but, you know, the potato is one of the most versatile vegetables that you can do. You can do a lot with it. And it's something that we, our farmers sell it all year long so that we can kind of just take from.
Yeah, but you have to do a hard sell on potatoes. They get a bad rap for all that starch.
Why? It's a potato.
So what are you doing with these potatoes? Bring us around to the potato.
So, I mean, so today, you know, lately, the last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, we've been doing a potato pierogi. And it's really simple. It's one of those things my grandma used to make, especially around the holidays. It was always like kind of like a real family thing. Plus, it's a great way to involve your kids, because they used to pull me and my brother in and do stuff like this. It's, you know, the kids can make a mess. It's kind of, you know, just one of those things. It's fun to, you know, kids love doing stuff with their hands. So it's fun to kind of just, you know, take the dough, fold over, and then grandma would take it from there.
So how do you work the dough? I mean, it's fun to eat them, but the person making them, this is a process.
It's actually really not that bad. It's actually really easy. I mean, the dough, you really just take the ingredients and you kind of mix them together by hand for about 2 minutes-ish. So it just kind of comes together. Then you just let it rest for, for like an hour or two. During that time, you make the filling, let that chill. And then it's just about rolling it out, you know, and the key to rolling it out. And I think it's the same thing with pasta, too. It's, you know, flour is your friend. Don't hesitate with the flour. You don't want a sticky mess. You gotta get it nice and floured up so you can get it off easily off the counter.
Looking over your menu at Esther Ev, it includes a dish with beets, something many consider a treat at all times of the year, but especially during the winter months. How do you prepare them at your restaurant?
I mean, I think we've done them a couple different ways, and we've been playing around with this new one, which would be we take the beet and we actually cook it in beet juice and onion oil for 45 minutes at 85 degrees Celsius. It kind of just, it gets the whole cooking process started, and then we smoke them for about 45 minutes and dehydrate them for 6 hours, and they take on an almost like meat-like texture, which I think is just kind of a fun way to do something different with a beet that you haven't really seen before.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dan Van Wright, what are your favorite ways to liven up a dish in winter?
I like doing preserving, so anything pickled or smoked. Trying to incorporate any winter vegetables or some summer vegetables that we preserved over the summer. This year, we hope to do a little more than we did last year, because takes a lot of time to do that.
What are the vegetables you think that really lend themselves to preserving?
Carrots, cabbage, wild onions, stuff like that.
And you two recently announced the second annual Dim Sum Give Some event. Dan Jacobs, can you tell us about that?
So while we were opening up Dan Danks, we didn't really have anything to do. I started noticing changes and stuff that, you know, it was just like weird little odd things. Like, me and my wife would work out together, but my wife was able to progress further than I could. Like, she was lifting more and squatting more and just being able to do more. And I'm a bigger guy than she is. And I, you know, just physically should be able to lift more than she does. And we noticed that there was something was wrong. So I went to the doctor, and they ran some tests, and it was really, really scary for a couple of days. You know, there was, you know, talks of ALS, MS, Parkinson's, and I got diagnosed with a rare neuromuscular disease called Kennedy's disease, and it's very similar to ALS in progression. It's a little bit slower, but, I mean, you can hear it in my voice. My voice is cracky, and, you know, it's because I'm literally losing my voice. And, you know, about a year and a half, it became really real, I think.
Yeah.
And I, you know, instead of moping around the house, which I did for about 2 days, we decided to do something about it. And the one thing we can do as chefs, and we do really well, is we can raise money. So we got together about 28, 32 of my friends. You know, me and Dan kind of just reached out to everybody. And, I mean, it's amazing what the chef community in Milwaukee and, you know, in the greater Wisconsin area will do for each other.
And that event's coming up March 25th. Dan Jacobs and Dan Van Wright, thank you both for coming on. We really appreciate it. Dan Jacobs and Dan Van Wright are co-owners and head chefs of Dan Dan and Esther Ev in Milwaukee, have been nominated for that 2018 James Beard Award for the Best Chef Midwest category. And we've been working our way through Wisconsin talking to the chefs about winter cooking. Speaking of winter, winter weather advisory covering the northern two-thirds of the state, while more heavy rain is likely for southern Wisconsin with flood warnings expected. After the morning weather moves out, we'll see another round of heavier rain for southeast Wisconsin through mid-evening. Highs today in the 20s in the north, lower 30s to upper 40s in the south. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with my colleague Mike Arnold. The single largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. Take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And depending on where you are in our listening area, it's either like really snowy this morning or it's really rainy this morning. And there's been kind of something nice about having a conversation about food for an hour. If you appreciate that, if you value that, WPR is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. There's so many interesting things to talk about. It's going to be an interesting year in terms of elections and stuff like that. Pay for these conversations, these good conversations you hear every day. Choose an amount that works for you and take a few minutes to make your pledge.
The cool thing is we've made our hourly goal, and these hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy, whether they are programs about the news of the day, whether they're programs about cooking, whether they're programs about politics and elections. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. As an added bonus, you'll automatically be entered into that drawing for a $500 grocery gift card, and you have five chances to win.
Yeah, and I forgot to bring my lunch in this morning. I'm one of those people who forget stuff on a regular basis. If you're like that, you know, there's a way that you can support public radio and never forget. You can become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. And once you set up a comfortable monthly amount for your bank account or your credit card, your support goes right to work, and you don't forget it. It just supports the programs you appreciate.
And you're always nourishing those programs because your sustaining donation automatically renews each year. Your support will always be current. That means that month to month, you're making important programs available to all. Become a sustainer right now. It'll feel great with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And so make that pledge right now. Every single donation helps. What, you know, you're listening now, make your donation now. A gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you think about all the stuff you discover on Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe something you're discovering this morning is, you know, I didn't know that they took pledges. I didn't know you could support Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that this radio station is listener supported, that listener support is the single largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, you know what? It is. And the single largest piece of the budget comes from listeners. That means that we're able to have conversations and we're able to do things that a lot of other radio stations aren't able to do. So maybe now's the time for you to step forward and make that support known at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join the family.
Your support, your pledge right now, so important. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This Hour of the Morning Show was produced by Brianne Chasso and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network. To read more about the James Beard nominations, head over to WPR.org Morning Show page, where we have a link to our coverage. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.